Right now, the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by A Number One Air and Tylock George Laser Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. P1 Nick says, tell Mad Giorgio that there is the equivalent of Tony Romo in college admissions. It's the so-called Dean's Special Interest List. It constitutes about 30% of the admits into Ivy League schools, and these spots are reserved for kids whose parents typically contribute up to $20 million or more to the schools. So these charmed life kids are arguably taking away seats from common man kids who are probably more qualified academically. Yet that's not one of the things that Giorgio gets his blood pressure up about and starts ranting about. Taking away spots.
We just haven't done, we've done more golf segments than we have Ivy League school admissions in the last 20. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, but don't you feel more sorry for the common man's kid whose lifelong dream was to get into an Ivy League school?
That's not right, but
and
to
his
me that,
spot goes to.
Sure. Absolutely. I don't think that's right either. I wasn't aware of it. I didn't know they had the $20 million rule.
But it doesn't get your blood pressure up near as much as the Tony Romo.
He is a professional sports commentator.
Yeah. I'm not an Ivy League school commentator.
Yeah.
Maybe I will be someday.
But how many things on this show have we commented about that weren't sports related that we had opinions
Absolutely.
On?
Have well, we ever... To me, that's an indictment of Romo. If you compare him to the $20 million rule, to me, that's an indictment of Romo, not of me.
I don't know. Have we ever done a non-sports segment on this show?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Not in my lifetime. That's from P1 Nick. P1 Stephanie, she says, subject line, Colin Gordo Robinson. Gordon is feeding off of George with the Tony Romo stuff. I'm envisioning Gordon's eyes turning blue while George is speaking. I love you all, P1 Steph. That's true.
Hey, by the way, season 3, I believe, is about to drop.
Of what we do in the shadows.
Yeah, what we do in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
It is a funny show. Who's your favorite character on the show, though?
Wow.
I think when it first started, I liked Laszlo the most. And then it quickly switched over to, what's his name? The main guy.
Nandor.
Quickly switched over to Nandor. And then Colin Robinson made a strong run there at the end.
Boy, it's tough because I go back and forth.
I think it may be still Nandor.
I think it's Nandor. I think I like the way Nandor speaks the most out of all of them. But you know what? Guillermo is great too.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's Nandor. I'd say Nandor, Laszlo, Colin Robinson, Guillermo.
Have you caught up yet, George?
No, I watched it like 2 years ago, watched like 2 or 3 episodes. I thought it was funny. Who's the guy from
Flight
of the Conchords?
But not enough to stick with it?
No, not really. Maybe I'd give it another shot.
The Flight of the Conchords, yeah, those were the guys who originally did the original movie.
Yeah, but he's still
there. Involved?
Didn't he?
Yeah, they're involved in the production of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, did he make a guest appearance in it?
I thought he did. I saw him in the episode I watched.
Yeah, he probably has.
Or episodes.
I thought Mark Hamill was good in his guest appearance. He was a huge fan of the show, so they put him in the episode. He was in the episode of Jackie Daytona or whatever. that weird, weird episode in which Laszlo escapes his identity and goes and establishes a new one. It's a great show. I need to find me a new good show.
Do you have a recommendation? I can report that I have started again for the third time Schitt's Creek.
It's spelled differently.
Yeah. Okay.
Spelled differently.
I'm rolling with it. Yeah. Now, I've previously not made
it
past
Creek.
4 episodes, but now I'm up to about 8 episodes.
Yeah,
season 1. I like it.
So
yeah.
Why did it take you 3 times? That's what troubles me.
It's a little slow moving.
Because I started it and bailed out after the first time after I watched 2 episodes.
I'd watch just about anything with Eugene Levy. I just think he's awesome.
Boy, he is so great. Now,
Chris Elliott's in it.
His son, Daniel, bothers me a little bit in this show.
He's like the star, though.
It's I know.
And I'm kind of with you. I don't know if he's really that funny.
He can be really funny, but it's too much complaining. Like, his character does nothing but complain. And after a while, that gets a little old to me.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like a great recommendation. You had to go at it three times before you were able to finally get it to graft. And then the main character is one that just bugs you. All right, and then I get this from Celeste. You know, we talked a lot about Larry McMurtry this week because he passed away at the end of last week, and we've covered his work and his life and his importance here in Texas on the show. And she says, Big P1 here. What was the McMurtry book you mentioned this morning that was your favorite? And I mentioned All My Friends Are Going to Be Strangers. It's not a Western. It's set in Houston when McMurtry was going to Rice. I love that book. It's a great book. She says, loved your segment. I'm from Wichita Falls originally, and I live in Mansfield now. Well, we have a letter from Larry McMurtry. My husband is a huge Lonesome Dove fan, and a friend was dating Larry's brother. So we gave him a photo from the movie Lonesome Dove for Larry to sign. Well, Larry sends the photo back unsigned with a letter saying, I had nothing to do with that movie. And so they framed the letter and put that up in their house.
That's great.
What a Larry McMurtry story that is. And it's so Larry McMurtry. Yeah, I'm not signing that. I had nothing to do with that movie. Signed Larry McMurtry. It's a great story. Thank you, Celeste. And then Mark sent me this. Mark says, this is P1 Mark That.
Okay, yeah,
that's his name. Mark That.
We hear from him all the time.
Uh-huh. He says, I normally don't send you anything until I'm finished, but man, this one tickled me when I heard it, even though you, of course, were totally in context when you said it. He's the guy who produces the out-of-context Gordo montages. And so he sent me this one. Let me make sure that all the audio is pulled up. Okay. The vet told me it's impossible to date these things. Okay, I was talking about a tortoise there. And it was not.
You want to
he makes it sound
huh?
romantic, and yeah. I was talking about determining the age of something.
Uh-huh.
But he just said, Mark said he listened to this on Pete last.
The vet told me it's impossible to date these things.
Like I'm going to a vet for advice. Okay. Hey, give me some, how can I do this,
he
man?
He wanted to date the German Shepherd, but he just said, nah, it's really impossible.
Look, Gordon, I think cows are beautiful animals too, but.
Oh, man. So. You know, that's a real thing in the country. Didn't you always think that was an urban legend?
No, that's a real thing. That was in Last Picture Show.
Yes. Larry McMurtry, he wrote about that in Last Picture Show. And I always thought that was an urban legend, that people in the country did stuff with cows.
That is not urban legend.
I don't think it happens nearly as much as we think that it does. Or just refer to it.
Well, I thought it happened once a year at one guy in the country. But I bet you it happens more than that. So that would be more than we think it does.
I don't think it happens as much anymore as it used
but
to
in this,
because people are afraid of getting caught on cell phone video.
Out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
That threat
was not around in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, so I think it happened a lot more back then, but I think it happens a lot more now than you think.
Okay, what about in the 1940s? Did that go on?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, dude. Oh, geez.
Boy.
You don't have to be so emphatic.
You're over there preaching that it does go on, and when I confirm it, you back away.
A cow?
Yeah. That's why I don't think it really did happen. I'm sure it did, but not. It's not like a common thing.
But I don't know. I bet you they make it sound like this was common knowledge, and this went on and on every farm.
Yeah, I just
like old McDonald really had a good time.
Don't bring him into it. Come on, that's a little kid song.
So why would Larry include it in his novel when the novel was supposed to be a snapshot of what life is like in small town Texas? Why would he just throw that in there randomly if it didn't happen?
He's kind of an eccentric guy, and, you know, you put something in there that would make it interesting.
But he had to have gotten the idea from somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's been in other books, too.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just don't think that it's just because it's in that movie means that it was very common in the 40s.
There was this other book that I read that they made it seem like it was a rite of passage back in the 1940s, actually, when this one was set, for the young men out in the country,
yeah,
in rural areas.
Like a hazing thing.
Yeah. A common hazing thing.
But again, even when it was, I don't know if they actually went through with it or just, like, it was a fraternity thing, too. You know, that was always rumored through the years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I don't know if it actually would happen. It was just like that scenario was brought up that a pledge would be thrown into a room and there's a goat.
And then let's talk about scams for a moment. I was reading an interesting thing on scams, and there was a news story about this dude. I think it may have been in, I can't remember where this happened, but there was a dude who would buy a first class ticket for a certain airline. And he would go to the airport every day to eat free in the VIP lounge for first class ticket holders. And then he would just say that he couldn't make his flight and have them change his ticket to, like, the next day. And he did this for a full year.
Wow.
He got a free dinner every single night by doing this. And when they finally caught on and asked him to stop, he got a full refund for the ticket because he had, you know, paid for the, you know, most expensive ticket to where you could get a full refund for it if you had to cancel it for any reason. And so he got a year's worth of free meals.
Boy, that is
out of just one ticket, and then gets a full refund at the end of it.
That sounds like something you would do.
It's so genius. And then in this thread, people started telling about other scams that they were aware of, and I thought this one was pretty good too, because it hacks into the social animal that we are. This guy said that during summers, his dad and his dad's roommate, this is when his dad was young, before the poster was born, his dad and his dad's roommate and his roommate's younger brother, they worked at this amusement park which had this underground cave attraction. And one of the scams that they pulled was that the dad and the dad's roommate would covertly plant the roommate's younger brother in the cave tour group that followed the tour. And at the end of the tour, the younger brother would pipe, who was posing as a tourist, would pipe up and say loudly how much he enjoyed the tour, how beautiful the cave was, how knowledgeable the staff was, and he would pull out his billfold and say he was going to give such a gifted tour guide a well-deserved tip, and then would put $5 in the tour guide's hand. And then pretty soon everybody else, you know, looks around and they start pulling out their wallets and tipping as well, because it creates social pressure.
How funny.
And how they would just clean up because of this plant that they had in the tour group that would hand the $5 bill to the tour guide. And, of course, as soon as all the tourists left, the three of them would split all the money up.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. That is a great idea. What a simple social hack that is.
Yeah.
Just count on the fact that people are going to feel social pressure to be giving and charitable.
I would have given in to that.
I would have, too.
Yeah.
I would have totally fallen for that. I wouldn't be the one guy just sitting there leaving my wallet in my pocket.
And he has some lines, too, to deliver, too. Like,
yeah.
I really appreciate
it. Yeah, I really enjoy this. Yeah. You know what? I appreciate someone who's taking the time to really learn about their job and everything, and that ought to be rewarded by God.
Well, yeah, he's right about that.
Oh, great gag there. All right.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That's the ODEX 632 on the ticket. Coming up next, a visit with the Argyle alligator.